welcome to the Sticks and Stokes Cricket Podcast. The new regime of Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum has started with a bang. A 3-0 series win against World Test Champions New Zealand. We'll also bring you the latest from the County Championship, with of course special mention of the West Country Cricketing Factory Somerset, and there's even time for a blind cricket update. So, let's begin.
Hello again, chaps. Welcome, Krabby. Welcome, Chaser. It's been a long time coming, hasn't it? An England series win. It was about over a year ago that Joe Root inspired England beat Sri Lanka back in March 2021. So what do you make of Bazball, as it's rather horrendously named?
Quite entertaining, I have to say. It's a bit too much like pyjama cricket.
Yeah.
I genuinely did actually get a sense like of almost disappointment as we were winning that game. It was almost too easy. I don't know whether that was down to New Zealand or just... It was like the difficulty's been taken out of Test cricket. Like they've turned it down a notch, like onto village level or something, on Brian Lara and playing all shots like all around the ground.
Just yeah. 4 or 6.
But no, obviously amazing, amazing result. Krabby, what was your thoughts?
Yeah, it was an interesting series. I don't think I've seen cricket like it. I felt very sorry for Trent Bolt because, yeah, I mean, you got there. I mean, probably the best bowler in the world, and he's got no support at all. Bracewell couldn't tie up an end to save his life. Southey looked absolutely dross, and Wagner, he's just a bit past it now, Wagner. He's not got his spark. He's bowling sort of late 70s, and if he doesn't get that swing, then he's just cannon fodder.
I enjoyed the fact Bracewell has only been bowling off-spin for 2 years. It's almost like he's been on faking it. 2 weeks of training from an off-spin coach. Throw him straight in, see if you notice which one's not the test match. He did really well in the first game. Mm. I really like the look of him, but not picking a frontline spinner seems to cost him there. Chaser.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of Bracewell. I think he's 1 for 160-odd. Going at over 7.5 and over is not great. It reminds me a bit of that. Was it Parkinson once when he came into England side in Australia, decided to smash him out of the park at about 10 and over? It did have reminiscences of that. But yeah, not great. But I'm not a huge fan of this attacking cricket. I think it's a bit boom or bust. We are gonna have some horrific defeats, surely. We're gonna against India or someone where they're gonna bowl us out for back to back 70s, and we're gonna lose by 400 runs or something.
I mean,
yeah. If Jamie Overton had been given out as he should have been LBW, then we'd have been all settled out for under 100.
Yeah.
To be fair, I thought it looked all the world like we were gonna be skittled. In that game, when Stokes came charging down the wicket and got caught mid-off, it was like, oh my God, this is the worst, like from the highs to the lows. But to be fair, Johnny Bairstow, I mean, I wouldn't have put him in the team coming straight out of the IPL, but the start of the cricket played.
He was averaging over a run of ball, wasn't he, in that last test and scored a back-to-back century. So.
But I also particularly enjoyed the fact that he came in with Joe Root on sort of 70-odd not out with, what, like 80-odd to win. And it's like, oh, just help you get to this 100. No, I'm just going to smash 70 off 40 balls. Cheers. But he looked like $1 million, really, at 5. If we go in some flat pitches in, where are we playing? Pakistan away. New Zealand away later, I think. I think in February. So, hey.
Quite like how he's put Bairstow at 5 and put Stokes has dropped himself to 6, which is probably the right way around. I think Stokes probably not quite good enough to bat 5 these days. And Pope at 3 did all right. It's just a bit annoying. You got a century, really. I was hoping to kind of drop him after this series, but he's going to hang around now.
We should give positivity and credit where it's due. I thought Pope looked fantastic, actually, and especially in that last game. I didn't see as much of his 100, but actually that under pressure in the chase, 50 for 2, he played a pretty chanceless knock, didn't he? I thought he was excellent. And kind of looks like an inspired move from Stokes and McCullum. I'm not calling him Baz. He was never called Baz for this whole career. I don't know why it is now.
He got 2 scores, really, in the series, Pope. At Lord's, he didn't get a score. And then he got a big 100, Trent Bridge, 145. And then 82 in the second innings. So, he did all right, but I'm not convinced by him.
Well, let's see. India will be an interesting one because I think that's the best attack we'll face. But they might be really... I don't know what they'll have all been playing IPL, presumably, so they'll be hopelessly underprepared.
Why are we playing India again? Didn't we play them last time?
Do you not remember? We were all off on the train up to Old Trafford, but someone in the Indian backroom staff got COVID.
They panicked
about their IPL contracts. They'd all be forfeiting it with insurance, and so they pulled out of the game. So it's the rearranged test from last year. I think we're 2-1 down in the series. I think somehow we need to be caved and allowed this to genuinely be the series decider. Just shows who runs cricket. Anyone else? That's kind of the bat. Well, that's the good of the batting, I suppose. Root, Bairstow, Pope. Top of the order.
Plenty of bad, isn't there?
Despite a 3-0 win, potentially. Crawley top scored in one of the innings.
Did he?
Did he? In what?
You don't remember when we got skittled in the first test at Lords.
He got 40 or something, didn't he?
He got 40 odd, didn't he? Yeah. We were going along at like great guns, 50 for naught. Crawley just smacking it to all parts.
He got 43.
And they bowled out about 120, weren't we? 130.
Time for him to go, though, surely. We've enough of this. We've tried him at three, we've tried an opening. He looks good in the kind of dribs and drabs, but doesn't really score any serious runs. Unless it's against like Bangladesh or someone where he puts up like 200.
24 test matches. That's a good. We've given him a. That is extraordinary how he's played that many test matches.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Hello, it's a lot of test cricket, isn't it? 24 matches.
At 48 innings. He's scored over 1,000 test runs.
Yeah, he has.
Averaging 20.
But if you take out, he only averaged 26. And if 26. That's including that 267, which he scored against with the Bangladesh, I'm pretty sure.
It was Pakistan, but I don't know if you were doing that as the derogatory way. Yeah, it was Pakistan, but they play hot and cold, don't they? I think for his own good, he's got to be given a chance to go back to county cricket and score some runs, hasn't he? Like
he's never done that.
It's not going to get easier against India, and then South Africa. Opening batting, you would have thought.
He needs to get taken away when Darren Stevens to South Africa. Whatever Darren Stevens does in South Africa, a couple of Kent lads, take Crawley on a gap here out there and just play some. Shitty county cricket or state cricket, whatever they do. And it seems to work for Darren.
Come back a couple of stones heavier, just go out on the last.
Yeah.
Can't be any worse.
Hopefully rein in a few of his shots, maybe. That would, yeah. There was a good analysis, one little technical piece. Mark Butcher, who I thought was excellent on the comms, did a good bit that showed he was like stepping forward, but onto his heel. He wasn't sort of stepping on the ball of his toe. So he's like got his really braced front knee. And so no weight going forward and just really hard to actually like time and drive the ball. Huge gap between your bat and pad. There's some stats as well. It's like no opener in world cricket has ever edged as many balls as a percentage of balls faced as Crawley has.
Really? Even more than Vince?
I think there's more than Vince, yeah. I'd have to double check that. Might not. I reckon Vince was actually unlucky. He was one of those where like every edge flew to second slip.
I'm sure I sent the article around where he comes out as the most unluckiest test player of all time. But something like he had like some incredible catch rate against him where he had like 98% of catches that he gave were caught or something ridiculous.
Wow.
And there's some horrendous stats just like Zach Crawley or something who's quite low down and all these guys who keep on getting even chances.
I love all the stats you can get now. That sort of thing is just you can prove whatever you want. Any argument. Bowling, can we move on to that quickly?
Alex Lees. What about Alex Lees? Because I'm not convinced by him.
Well, he's the best of a bad bunch, right? He's the second worst opener we have, so he probably gets another shot, isn't he?
Yeah.
He was also stitched up in the last innings by Crawley, wasn't he? In that run out. That Crawley innings was just a brilliant piece by Jonathan Lau in The Guardian, actually, talking about Crawley, how if he just snicked off a naught, people would have go, well, maybe give him another chance. But actually, he played and missed like three or four times, should have been bowled, had two LBW appeals, edged it through the slips and was dropped, and then ran out his partner, and then got out for 25. And it was like the amount of luck he needed to get into the 20s with the ball not swinging was, come on, man.
Who do we think is going to replace Crawley then if the...
I think we'll come on to some of our county updates, but my vote would be Ben Compton, although he didn't score any runs on a flat wicket against Surrey. Which is leading, I think, the only place England selectors seem to look. So
he's leading the county championship for runs.
Trouble is, it was all now 2 months ago. So if you bring him back for India, he's not. Is he in form?
Not played.
Not played. Should have played this test series. I think it's going to be tricky now. But I think there's a game. I think there's another game next week. So hopefully, he scores some runs again.
You know, his strike rate is almost as slow as Dom Sibley. So
there's no way he's being picked, is there?
I mean, he's got a strike rate of 41, and Big Dom is at the rapid pace of 37, so it's not too bad. But he's also faced, I was looking at the stats, he's also faced almost twice as many balls as any other counter cricket player this season, Ben Compton.
Wow.
So he can't be, he's certainly not going to really fit into Bazball very well, is he?
We'll see. Genuinely, if they want an opener like that, I think Sam Robson is a shout. Scored, I know it's in the Butchers and Bakers League, Div 2, but he is capable of an aggressive looking 100, and he has done it at international level before. We talked about this. He'd be my one, although Hamid also scored a ton this week. So I wouldn't be surprised if his friends are not revving up. Nottinghamshire.
You know, he snuck into the top run scorers in county cricket, though, creeping in last place in the top 50. It's only our boy Lamanby from Somerset. Surely, Krabby, you'd be pushing for Lamanby.
You not notice that, Krabby?
Is it top 50?
Yeah, top 50. Look,
he's this season's not his year. He hasn't. The bowlers have still worked him out this year, but next year he'll just need to adapt his technique a little bit, to tweak it for the, and he'll be playing the next Ashes series, hopefully. It's not hard to become an England opener, really. You just need to score more than 25 runs, because Lee's average is 25, Crawley averages 25, Hamid averages about 20. Sibley, I can't remember what he averaged. It was under 20, under 30 though, as was Burns.
Burns was 30, I think.
So you don't need to do a lot, do you? Score 100, one in every eight games.
Bring Burns back?
No.
He's gone.
He hasn't cut his hair. It's a shame that Haynes and some of these boys, Brooks and that lot, we can't fit them in the side somewhere, because we need top order players. But if we wiggle around sort of Burstow and mess around with him, put him up the top, he's not going to play the same way.
But if we drop Folks now going forward, because Folks has got whatever. We'll come on to his injury in a minute, I guess. But
let's come on to Folks. How do you reckon he did this series? What's your
not great, was it? Didn't get many runs.
Really poor.
Winning, he was part of that winning partnership in the first game, wasn't he? He scored a 14 ball out or something.
Yeah, he held up an end. I mean, the New Zealand weren't bowling well. The ball was doing nothing. But yeah, he stuck at it.
And didn't he have a mare? One of the innings, he dropped loads of catches.
Yeah.
He dropped two or three catches. Yeah.
I dropped two catches.
Diving in front of first slip.
Yeah, there was that one.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll probably be gone for next series. I think they might just revert back to Bairstow.
Do you think they'll give him he's scoring so many runs, though. Do you not think, actually, here's the answer at the top of the order. Kills two birds with one stone. Joss Butler, wicketkeeper and opener.
God, I wouldn't put it past Stokes, to be honest. But God, they literally will boom or bust.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I'd rather see Butler coming out to open the batting than Zach Crawley.
It's a moving red ball. He's never been able to hit a red ball.
Kumar Sangakkara said something great on commentary. It was like, moving balls, moving ball. You know, if it's Joe Root, if it's Joss Butler, if it's Jason Roy, can get you out. But, you know, Joss Butler can take the game away from you. I'd love to see him play properly, like Joss Butler. It was so painful watching him play Test cricket, wasn't it? But now, given the way Johnny Bairstow's just played, why the hell not? We'll just turn it into a white ball team.
Surely the ECB are not going to allow this. Like, the test will be over in about 2.5 days. Like, there'll be so many refunds for tickets on day 3 and 4. We bang.
Yeah, but the last two tests have gone 5 days because they've prepared roads. That's what they're going to start doing. They're all going to be flat as anything, these tracks. And, England will suddenly be able to chase anything down.
That's what they did with the one day team as well, though, wasn't it? It was actually like, it wasn't just aggressive cricket. They produced absolute belting tracks at the start when they played New Zealand, and it was 350 played 350 in the first series that kind of got the one day revolution going. Should we talk about that very briefly?
Can we quickly talk about Folks's mysterious injury that he picked up after a terrible batting performance and terrible run of stumps? Yeah, he gets a back injury, which means he can't play, and then they realise that a back injury doesn't qualify you for a substitution. So he suspiciously got COVID about an hour later, having been told everyone he had a back injury.
Well, it's the only thing he managed to catch all week. That's a surprise.
A genius move and a sort of a dubious rule, it has to be said.
Yeah.
given that Jameson went down with quite a serious back injury and probably cost New Zealand the second test in the series. And Bracewell, yeah, because if they could have brought on a like-for-like replacement, you have to feel that if they could have brought on their spare Jez Patel, who last time he played took, I think, 9 wickets in an innings or 14 in the game. But New Zealand have even stranger team selections than England at the moment, it seems. They didn't pick Wagner on a kind of a flat pitch when you need a different type of bowler, and they haven't picked a frontline spinner on a turning wicket when, I don't know, it was so hot and dry, everyone was predicting a spinner would do something. Kind of odd.
Colin de Grondo, missing him, losing him in the first test, they lost the balance of their side quite a lot. And
I mean, those two, Southey and Bolt, had to bowl so many overs. They only had 3 bowlers for this game, basically, which is a bit of a shame. Like you say, Trent Bolt was amazing. I think Devin Conway is a bit underwhelming for New Zealand.
Yeah. Say. And Williamson. Yeah.
Well, Williamson, maybe we'll come on to the bowlers now. But
Conway, it happens a lot there, doesn't it? You get a player does well in their first year in Test cricket or whatever standard they're playing, and then because bowlers haven't seen them play, and then suddenly they can work them out. And yeah, maybe that's the way with Conway.
Bowlers, though, I thought Williamson, it was undone by his Matthew Potts, wasn't he? Williamson was his bunny. Got him out 3 times in 4 innings. He was, I think, an absolute revelation. Potsy, what do you reckon?
Weren't you slagging him off on our WhatsApp group?
Yeah, that was Hilliard. That's why I'm.
Chasey, you were slagging him off.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of him, to be honest. I do think he's kind of one of these like Chris Wokes style bowlers. Like, is he going to be that good outside of England? I don't know. He did bowl well, but.
Surprising how slow he is. He's a big lad. He's young. He bowls like 82, 83 miles an hour.
I think it's like 84, 85. It's slightly quicker than Anderson and Broad. And I think the difference is he does it all day, whereas Anderson and Broad bowl at that pace with a new ball when they're fresh. And I don't think they do in their 22nd over the day towards the back end. And I think he doesn't really swing it, does he, Potts? But he bangs it in and he wobbles the seam and it seems to nip around a little bit more. I mean, I think he's done what they expected or wanted Craig Overton to do, but he never quite managed it.
Well, he's got a worse batting average than Jofra Archer. He averages 2. three innings, 1 not out, 4 runs.
He wasn't batting. He wasn't batting 8 or whatever he was. Was he like?
He was in the first game.
He did. Yeah,
he batted 8 in the first.
Oh god! Yeah.
But Broad looks as though he's Broad looks like he might have sourced him. Well, actually, I say that he some games he looks shite, and then some games he can score 30 or 40.
But no, but I think that your point there is right, that he looks like he's not backing away anymore. He's coming out to bat. You know, he wants to score runs, he wants to be there. Whereas there was definitely a period where I don't know if he was doing it in sort of retaliation or protest against the batsman or whatever, yeah. But he was definitely just coming in and being like, fuck this. I'm just let the ball hit the stumps. I'll swing the bat, but really I couldn't be arsed, which is just horrendous for like a test cricketer. But that will really make a bit of a difference if you've got Stuart Broad chipping in with 30s, 40s, 50s at what, 9 is he probably going to bat? Depends if they pick our friend Jamie Overton. Krabby, any thoughts on the Overton boys? Is that another one down your way from the factory?
Yeah, Craig was never quite good enough to. He left Somerset to go to Surrey because he couldn't. He couldn't get in the team, and he's gone to Surrey and he's got a lot bigger and a lot fitter. That's one thing they've worked on there is fitness. If you compare him to Craig now, I mean, he's about twice the size. And he's lost a bit of his pace. He didn't bowl. I didn't see him bowl in the 90s at all in the test match, but he's always been a good batsman, tonking it down the order, but he's never picked up the wickets. I've never seen him sort of take 5 for or even 3 or 4 wickets on a regular basis. So he's going to take the odd wicket, but it's quite a defensive choice playing him because he will give you runs in the lower order, but that's about it. Craig's a much better cricketer.
You felt for him getting out on 97 though, didn't you, on your test debut?
Should have gone for it the night before.
He just prodded and poked in the morning, didn't he? He's like desperate to get there. Oh, cruel game.
What did you make of him anyway? You probably haven't seen a lot of him, you chaps.
I haven't seen a lot of him. I thought I was expecting him to be this fast, wild, sort of Harmison-esque sort of bowler. But actually, yeah, like you say, it wasn't probably as quick as I was expecting. And it probably wasn't as wild and wide as I was expecting either. We risk looking like way too similar in attack with like Potts, Broad and Overton, all sort of tall, medium, fast, bang it in. So I wouldn't pick them all together, but maybe he could do a job, and especially if he's going to score useful runs down the order. It's keeping them fit, isn't it, our fast bowlers? So no reason he can't play, but I don't think he's in our first choice 11 win.
Do you think Ollie Robinson gets in ahead of Potts these days?
Ooh,
good question. He should be hasty.
I'd say yes. I'd say yes any day of the week.
I would say yes. Oh, I think Robinson provides he's going to be different. Probably get some bounce out of pitches.
I think there's no chance Stokes picks him. Stokes bats Potts as his man, isn't he?
They're both at Durham, aren't they?
Durham lads. Potts runs in all day. Ollie Robinson's obviously a bit of a twat that no one really likes. And he's also as a test cricketer, as a professional, he's fucked it, isn't he? Like, he had his opportunity. What's going on now? He's still overweight.
He's massively overweight.
You know, you can't do it, man. Take it seriously.
You would be annoyed that if you came back from a day's cricket and then you go home knackered and then Farbrace is walking out your mum's bedroom in his dressing gown.
Is there a rumour about that?
Farbrace is his stepfather.
Oh, is he? Oh, right. Oh, I didn't know that. Is he still involved in occasionally setup for Farbrace?
Don't know, actually.
There's a story there. You keep digging. Okay, interesting. Maybe he's not got a back spasm after all. Who knows? Yeah, I don't know. I'd pick Potts again. I imagine they will do. They're not saying much about Anderson's injury, are they? Are we expecting him back for India? Anderson and Broad also returning was a big story. How do we think they went?
Broad was a bit mixed, wasn't he? I thought Anderson was his normal self, but Broad is certainly that second innings of New Zealand in the last test. He wasn't brilliant, was he?
Didn't look good at all. I think he's a bit past it now, Broad. He was stuck on, 549 wickets? And then Root drops a catch. So he's still on 549, I believe.
They'll play the rest of the summer, I think, won't they, if they're fit. And finally, another Somerset man, so I'll have to come back to you, Krabby. Jack Leach, 10 for. Was he man of the match? Yep.
Were they all caught on the boundary, or was it just nine of them?
So few caught on the boundary. But
there was that one deflected off the batsman's back. I think it was off his bowling.
Caught between the legs, wasn't it? There was a caught between the legs.
Caught between the legs. Yeah, there's some ridiculous wickets going on.
Yeah, a few slogs across the line. There's a genuine LBW in there.
He took all four of the last, all four of the bottom order of New Zealand in that last innings.
He wasn't
exactly tearing through the top of the order.
They were writing him off, were we?
Was it actually spinning, or were they just skidding on? They were playing for spin, weren't they?
I think he spun it a bit more. He certainly looked better for the confidence. I mean, Stokes there and the balls were open in the second innings.
He took the last four batsmen who all can't bat. And then his other wicket was Nichols, which was that horrendous caught and bowled where Nichols, I don't know, what looks like giving catching practice. I don't know what he was doing. He walked down the track and then just did like a chip for defensive.
He's a terrible player.
I did watch a bit of that. He looked like an absolute tortured soul just patting back this sort of like, you know, quite average, not really spinning left arm spin.
Did you hear Simon Dool? He was saying that Henry Nichols has got the worst record against a left-arm spinner of all time. Mm. And as the over went on, he was just getting more fidgety and more fidgety. Yeah. Terrible player.
Why did you say? But like, I think his test stats are quite good. I thought he was a pretty good batsman. But why would you struggle so much just against left-arm spin? It's quite
Jack Leach.
Well, that's it. I think we've rounded up just about everyone there. Give it a good opinion. Should we touch on the one day side then briefly? Obviously, they went over to Amsterdam for a bit of a piss up and a party and to give Owen Morgan a right old send off, which they sort of did. Any particular highlights stand out for you there, Chaser? Did you catch the game? Nip over.
I saw the highlights of the record score, which is slightly annoying actually. I think the previous record wasn't it England against Australia at Edgbaston, which is kind
very
of like
annoying.
A proper
Trent
opponent.
Trent Bridge, I think, but
Trent Bridge, not some not a record against a bunch of kind of tulip farmers, whatever they were.
To give the Netherlands their fair due, like they were missing four or five of their actual county cricketers, weren't they? And then they didn't pick one of them. They didn't pick Snater for the last game. They dropped him. So. Yeah, they went for the amateur approach and didn't really work out. My favourite moment, I think, was when someone bowled at it bounced twice, was sort of just off the strip, and Butler didn't just ignore it, he just smashed it over square leg six.
Out of the stadium, and then the umpire gives it no ball and six, thanks for coming.
That was the most truly wonderful village moment. Actually, also, like, quite a skill, hitting a ball that's bounced twice for six. Pretty impressive from Josh Butler, really.
So Travis, they didn't actually ever get Butler out, either. He got 86 not out, then he didn't bat, and then he obviously scored 162 not out off any 70 balls. So, brutal if you're a Dutch bowler trying to play in.
Get him in at the top of the order. Get him in the test team. Krabby, any thoughts on the Dutch? Anyone catch your eye for Holland? Any upcoming talent?
No, I'd have liked to have seen Alex Hales up there and Joe Clark or something, you know, a couple of the actual lads. Could have had a bit more fun in Amsterdam. But no, I didn't watch it. There was a lot of, there looked like a lot of Barmy Army out there. They had some fun.
It would have been a great stag do, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, a surprising lack of sort of stories coming out of the camp.
I'm sure the local ladies made a pretty penny or two.
Anyway, moving on. That was, it turns out, looks like the last of Owen's Morgan's one-day career. I mean, we should we not give him a little bit of a due respect for turning England's one-day fortunes around, the Irishman, over the last decade?
Nah. He has been very good fingers. Going out on a duck to the Netherlands is quite a send-off.
Yeah. His average dropped below 40 now after those two ducks. So he's on 39.29 now.
Like Bradman, isn't it? Last thing, just trying to get that.
Against the Dutch.
Yeah. Well, the one duck you can understand. Anyone can get a duck. The second one, when he spent seven balls getting it, it's like best of on like 35 there. Yeah, I think at the right time to move on and wish him well. Is he going to play any cricket? That'll be it. He won't go back to Middlesex, will he? Do you think? Just go into coaching.
He'll do some T20 stuff, really. IPL, probably get another contract at IPL. Somewhere in the Caribbean, a bit of Australia, probably give him one.
He'll be playing the rounders. Yeah, the rounders. Yeah,
that's true. The runnable rounders. I'll be like poster child for that now. Yeah.
Yeah, he will.
Because, of course, the four-day cricket in the county season's been curtailed, hasn't it, a little bit? They're finished sort of end of May, and then there's been just the blast, endless pyjama cricket going on in the counties. As it finished, Surrey and Hampshire were leading the charge in Division One. In the county championship, this is. Any thoughts? I mean, we're currently recording mid-game, which is always ideal, isn't it, for the length of time it takes us to edit and put out the podcast. But Hampshire, it looks like they're going to lose to Essex. And Surrey looks like it might be a draw, but they've just put on. They've become, I saw this, the eighth side this year to score 500 against Kent. You wouldn't be a Kent bowler, would you? Jesus.
Sam Curran scores his first 100.
Did he?
Yes.
Off only 75 balls. He could be called up to the Baz ball with that type of innings.
He is the sort of player who'd suit Baz ball, isn't he? It would get the balance of the side a little bit better as well, I think. Although, would it? Never know with Sam Curran. It's like, he's not really good enough as a batsman, not really good enough as a bowler, but...
He's all right. He's solid in England, I think, as a bowler. I'm not sure you want to take him anywhere else.
Overton or Sam Curran? As in Jamie Overton or Sam Curran?
In England's Sam Curran, actually, yeah.
Abroad?
Yeah. Left arm as well, isn't it?
I've never taken Jamie Overton abroad. Give you Ollie Robinson any day of the week.
It'd be good to see Sam Curran play a couple of games this year. See if he's still got it. Any other thoughts on the county championship, boys? Obviously,
I'm sure it would be a travesty, can I just say, if Hampshire win it this year, because your batting lineup, you should be in Div 2. Your openers are crap. Okay, you've got a good 3 and 4. Gubbins and Vince, 3 and 4, that's great. Yeah. And then you're suddenly into Liam Dawson at 5. he's a number 9.
He's got a fantastic 60 not out to win a game against Yorkshire last week, actually.
Yeah.
And he's just taken 7 for. So he's an unbelievable all-rounder, really. Old Lemmy.
What's he doing at 5?
Aren't we going to get him on the pod? We've got to be careful, Krabby, who we're slagging off.
I'm not saying he's a terrible player. I'm saying he's a terrible 5 or 6 or 7.
I think ideally he'd be 6 or 7, wouldn't he? And he had a bit of a lean spell. But he's actually been coming good again this year. I think he's scored a couple of hundreds in that match winning 50 and started taking wickets again. So take your point about Felix Organ opening the batting there. That's he was batting 9.
He was batting 9, yeah, starting the opening. And Ian Holland used to bat 7 or 8 and now he's opening the batting. So
Hey, I think they got 35 not out, aren't they? As we
35 not out. Yeah, on a wicket that's turning sideways.
Yeah.
So.
And Simon Harmer, he's doubled his wicket count for the year, bowling against us today.
Glad he's turned up finally against you boys.
Yeah,
brilliant. He opened the bowling in the second innings. Straight the new ball straight away.
So Hampshire's seam attack, we all agreed, was absolutely world class. All 10 Essex second innings wickets fell to spin. 3 to Auburn, 7 to Dawson. Barker bowled 3 overs. That was it.
Yeah, 3 overs.
Bowled like 7 overs. And they were like, no, we'll just spin for the whole game. What's the point?
42 overs bowled by 2 spinners.
Are they the only 2 spinners you've got?
Crane couldn't land it at all, does he? So we sort of binned him off to Sussex. So, yeah. Anything else? Surrey doesn't look like they've been halted by the fact that Jamie Overton and Pope. Folks and the like have been called up to England, but maybe it will affect their bowling, because actually they've only taken 2 Kent wickets, haven't they? So we will see. I think it's going to get good. I think there's a few more games in July, actually. So we'll do a proper county update next month.
Hopefully Somerset will win a few games by then.
Yeah, you'll need to. In the thick of the relegation battle, aren't you? With the Rosters.
We're scrapping.
It's going to get tight. Squeaky bum time.
I can't believe Northampton are above us and they haven't won a single game.
Your flat wickets at Wanted Road or wherever it is.
Yorkshire are 4th and they've only won 1 game. We've won 2 games at least. We just haven't drawn any. We've lost a lot. But moving on to the Blast. I've seen a bit of the Blast. Yeah, it's Somerset are absolutely, well, we're doing really well in that. We're 2nd in the league behind Surrey, which is very good. A couple of rain reduced games. We had a 7-over side match in Cardiff on Friday night. There were about 12 people.
A long way to go for the 14 overs.
Well, that's not too bad from Somerset, but the crowd didn't turn up for it. It was pretty hilarious on the live stream. There was no atmosphere there at all. But you just call it off, wouldn't you? There's not a lot of points in playing 7 overs a side.
Madness. Chaser?
I watched both Essex Middlesex the other day. Middlesex are not particularly good, I have to say. But I got to see one of my favourite players. He's the former Northants keeper. He's now at Essex. He's quite good fun to watch.
Rossington,
yeah. He's certainly a big boy for that way. He's a long way. It's good fun seeing those guys. But yeah, Hampshire are doing all right. I think we're setting the table, having lost the first 4 games.
You're 4th. So,
that's all you need to get into the quarters, isn't it? You want to come
away quarter
later.
You don't really want to be facing the Birmingham Bears either if you want a quarter final, which I think is what the 4th place Southern team face. Given Birmingham Bears have put up 200, I think, every game for the last 3 or 4 games. So
that Big Dom at the top bashing some.
Yeah, Big Dom. Yeah,
it's not. Does he play for their C20 side?
I doubt it.
Can we get some stats on that? I think Hampshire lost their first 5 games in a row, though, didn't they? At the start.
Yeah,
of the
first 4 or 5.
They're coming into form.
I can confirm that Dom Sibley does not play in the T20 Blast. He's been playing second 11 cricket. He played he's playing against Somerset seconds where he scored 12, and then Warwickshire seconds he scored 31.
It's not screaming for a recall into the Baz Ball.
No, but
test side, is it? But hey, he's still out there. Keep going, Big Dom.
Right, what's happened to Kent this year, by the way? Because they won it last year.
Yeah.
And they're bottom of the league this year. So it's an extraordinary turnaround there.
I don't know about Kent. Maybe they've just taken some of their form from the first class game. I mean, they must have been in the field so many days. They must be absolutely knackered, their bowlers. Like, you're conceding 500 runs, even a couple of times, it's like, takes it out of you. Do it 8 times in the first 2 months of the season. Even to a Sri Lanka development 11, they scored 680. Yeah. I mean, please. There was 2 more that were over 400. But if you don't score 400 against Kent, absolutely livid with yourself. It's unbelievable. It's almost as impressive, actually, as the amount of runs scored in. Should we go to the blind cricket?
This is tremendous.
It was a record breaking, wasn't there?
Yes, yeah, Stefan Nero, who hit 309 off only 140 balls. Extraordinary. And that that takes his average to 523 as a batting average. 523. Now, I'm not being funny, but I think the guy needs probably to have his eye tested just to make sure he's fine, to be honest, because he also doesn't wear a helmet when he bats, which I know is extraordinary. Is it plain blind cricket? I would have thought you'd be wearing like every pad possible. Surely that must be...
Because you get in blind football, don't you? Like, some pretty horrendous collisions because, you know, the, obviously you don't know, you're not aware of your surroundings. Yeah. So I would imagine the similar in cricket, like you must be, get peppered.
Why would you wear a helmet though? What do you, why would you wear a helmet though? Because you're already blind.
It doesn't mean you're doing more damage. You can't break your jaw or something.
Yeah. But also he doesn't seem to wear any pads either. I'm looking at the photo. He's got no pads on either. Just a pair of gloves and a bat.
Well, how do they play blind cricket? Presumably, they don't bowl at 80 miles an
they
hour.
Roll and just try and they roll it. They roll it. Chaser, you're coming up with these stats. Have you actually ever seen how they bowl?
I have not seen how they bowl.
I'm pretty sure they P-roll it along the grounds. And so no wonder he doesn't wear any pads.
and they just sweep it, or what?
Then they just smack it back down the ground. Yeah, they literally the hockey sweep it. That's what they're doing.
Okay. Mm. And what's the technique? Like, how do you be a good bowler?
I don't think it's much in the bowling. I think it's just, you know, the standard's not great. Yeah. Right. Fuxi, really can you also give us a little update on the women's
versus South Africa women's test down at Taunton as well, Krabby, I might add. This is probably your sort of neck of the woods, isn't it? So I actually thought a couple of highlights. One, the ball did swing for a couple of England bowlers, actually. There's a couple of good hooping in swingers. But I did think Cap played a fantastic knock, 150, really impressive. And she did had to score a lot of those runs again with the tail. And as he rightly pointed out, Krabby, that there were some interesting techniques down the order. Particularly, I think the South African number 11, he looked to have her
stand with
wrong,
her,
potentially have her hand the wrong way round on the handle, holding it. But she scored 8, so that's better than your top score this year, isn't it, Gabby? So,
yeah, it is.
In international cricket. So who are we to say? Intriguingly poised. And good to see some women's test cricket. It's not all one dayers. So I guess that's the only way standards improve and, you know, you get more experience with it. So
also, well, the BBC Sport had it as their main article on the cricket today.
I'm trying to get rid of women's test cricket. The ICC came out and said no one wants to watch this. So we which I thought was a bit harsh.
I mean, let's come out and get rid of the ICC rather than that.
Well, the BCCI, you mean? It's not the ICC, yeah. Is it?
It was a terrible thing for the governor of the, you know, game of cricket to come out and say. Really ridiculous. And I think he also said, oh, it's inevitable, it's just going to be less and less test cricket and all this. And it's, I don't know. They're not exactly looking after the game, I wouldn't have thought, to be honest. But before we get distracted into all that, any other updates? I mean, we can talk a little bit about the Cornwall Div 2 and the T20 Cup if we want, but I suspect our listeners have probably had enough. Chaser, any minor counties?
Yeah, as I say, a bit of minor counties. And I thought we saw Dorset qualified for the top of the group in the T20. I was just checking how that was going. T20 finals. Sadly, Oxfordshire won the cup. Dorset lost to Cambridgeshire, devastating, in the semi-finals. Mm. So, yeah, have to wait another year.
Is that uni influence, do we think? Oxford and Cambridgeshire. It's an interesting.
Yeah, maybe
they're the strongest minor counties. Great. Well, thanks, chaps. That hour absolutely whizzed by. Looking forward to catching up in a couple of weeks. We've got a test against India coming up, the one-off, and then also loads more county cricket before we get into, unfortunately, the peak of the 100, when hopefully it pisses down and there's loads of train strikes. So until next time, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Cheers. We'll be back in a couple of weeks, which is hopefully more than we deserve for Zach Crawley. As always, you can follow us on the usual socials on Twitter and Instagram at Sticks and Stokes, or send us an email, sticksandstokescricketpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.